Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning together Mizmor Lamed Zayin, the 37th Psalm in the Book of Tehillim. Let's take a look at this together. This is a rather long Mizmor. In fact, it consists of no less than 40 psukim. What is unique about it is that it is constructed of the Aleph Beis structure. And in the Aleph Beis structure, each letter has really four phrases. So sometimes of those four phrases, it may be that two phrases are found per pasuk, which means that each letter of the Aleph Beis may get two psukim to include those four phrases. Sometimes those four phrases are included into one, and so each letter may only get one pasuk, depending on how those four phrases are incorporated. There are some anomalies. So for instance, the letter ayin seems to be left out, but it actually really is in the middle of pasuk chav ches, starting with the word le'olam, which is actually where it is to be found. And if you look just, you know, linguistically, it's very beautiful. If you look at the letter resh, as an example, in pasuk lamed hey, almost every word has a resh in it. Ra'isi, rasha, aritz, umis are ke'ezrach ra'anan. So you hear all the reshes in the resh over there, just the poetries of also the way it is structured is extremely beautiful. It has general formats, the different ways of looking at the general themes. So we could shift it in different ways. One basic way of looking at it is that there are five natural sections, and that is the first 11 psukim, Aleph to Yud Aleph, are talking about trusting in Hashem and rewarding the righteous, and ultimately the evil will perish. Psukim Yud Beis to Yud Zion, this is 12 to 17, it is shift into the idea of the righteous being saved from the sword of the evil. So it's not talking about different silos of the righteous and the evil, but the evil who are pursuing the righteous and how Hashem will save them. In Psukim Yud Ches to Chavtes, 18 to 29, we talk about how the righteous will be saved from famine. That seems to be more of a natural disaster than a disaster of evil of human beings. And Lamed to Lamed Gimel, 30 to 33, is the righteous will be saved from false claims of the evil. So not, we'll call it the sword of the evildoers, but the pen and the mouth of the evildoers. And finally, 34 to 40, Lamed Dalad to Mem, is a rally to trust in Hashem. This Mizmor is characterized by descriptions of Hashem. This is many descriptions of how Hashem works within this world. So it's not turning to Hashem to ask Hashem for things. It is a voice of a narrator in a third person of Hashem all the way through, and which is what leads, you know, some academics say it sounds like Mishlei, so to speak, you know, parables that are put together randomly. And that cannot be the case, as Rav Moshe Chacham points out. It is clearly invalid because there is a theme, there are repeated phrases, repeated themes, and there's a trajectory as to understanding how to look at the theodicy being described and discussed in this Mizmor. There's clearly a very specific message and theme. So let's get straight to that theme. And that is, the theme is that it is a call and it is a rally to for people to trust in Hashem, even though it looks like we sometimes see theodicy. Theodicy where it seems that the evil prosper and the righteous suffer, which is one of the big, big questions which monotheism struggles with. And within that framework, the answer that the Mizmor gives to that question, that very troubling age-old question about why the evil are succeeding, is that the reason is because ultimately, they will perish in the end. Meaning you may think that they're succeeding now, but understand this is not the be-all, this is not the end-all. There is much bigger perspective over here. For example, in Pasuk Beis, they're going to wither. You know, you see them now here, and in a few years' time, they're no longer going to be. They're not so powerful. They will all disappear and be all but forgotten. That seems to be the general way of explaining it in this Mizmor. That's the argument. What is fascinating about this is that that actually seems very similar to the argument made in the book of Eov. Eov suffered horrifically, and when his friends came to speak to him, they all suggested that ultimately evil will disappear, ultimately it's short-lived. And it turned out that they were actually incorrect. In Eov's time, the suffering was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not for a particular reason, and it was not something which suddenly, you know, would rectify itself within the confines of Olam Hazeh particularly. So why is our Mizmor, why does this section in Tehillim adopt a theory which seems to have not been useful or helpful in the case of Eov? So the Dat Mikra Rav Moshe Chacham suggests that very simply is that the suffering in Eov was completely heavenly, without any reason. So you couldn't apply logic to it. It's the Yisurin, Shal Avapam, potentially, which is, I don't know if that's the way you define it, that it means to say it's something beyond the scope of logic. Here, we're still within the scope of logic, and what this Mizmor is saying is, before we, you know, without getting to the Yisuri Eov, the sufferings of Eov, understand, get this perspective. Things take a while to unfold. We don't know everything all the time when we just see a little piece of that story. We don't fully get it yet. There is an interesting motif in this Mizmor. There are many different motifs. The word kaveh, trust in Hashem, and hope in Hashem seems to appear many, many times. One other idea which seems to appear many times in this Mizmor is the word Oretz, which means land. And it talks about how the Tzaddikim are going to be able to continue to hold their land, whereas the Rishaim will not be able to hold it. What does land refer to? So the Malbim says that it's actually a metaphor for have. Meaning what the Mizmor is telling us is, as an example, in Pasuk Gimel, when the Pasuk says, B'tach b'Hashem, trust in Hashem v'asei tov and do good. Shechon eretz, dwell in the land, ure'ei emunah, and cultivate emunah. Now, what does it mean over here? He's saying this is an example of have. Understand that when you're in this world and it looks like other people are taking what you are deserving of, when you think that your portion is being contracted, is being made smaller by other people, then ultimately you need to remember that there is lots of space in this world. Hashem has a special place for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a specific plan for you. And nobody else is going to be able to take that away from you, even though it seems like what the evil are doing is taking that away from you. Understand, and that's what the Malbim says. That's what it means. Ure'ei emunah is cultivate emunah, understanding that there's lots of space for you as a lamb. A lamb always comes back to the same pasture and has a certain trust that there'll be grass the next day. That's how Hashem says we should live this world. That's the metaphor. However, it should be known that the Eretz can also be metaphoric for the world to come. As we know, for instance, the similar kind of pasuk in Yeshayahu Perek Samach is V'ameich kulam tzadikim lo'olam yirshu Eretz, that your nation are fully righteous and they will always inherit land. And that, as is described in the introduction to Pirkei Avos, Chazal Darshan, refers to Olam Haba, and clearly it may be referring to that in this Mizmor as well. And therefore the perspective in innuendo is don't think that all justice is confined to Olam Hazeh, to this world. There is a bigger picture. In terms of events behind the Mizmor, it's hard to point to a specific event. There is a obscure midrash which does say a fascinating thing, that in the first pasuk, which says to David, al tischar b'meriim, don't compete against those who are negative, al tekaneh b'osei avla, right? Don't be jealous of those who are doing evil. It may be David HaMelech prophetically giving some sort of guidance to his grandson Rechavam, who's going to suffer from the splitting of the kingdom based on some rash decisions he made and based on the nefarious actions of Yeravam ben Nevat, and perhaps that was what it's referring to here. So it could point to that event prophetically rather than in the past as well. It is worthwhile noticing, by the way, just to add in at this point, that because the voice of this Mizmor is not talking about to Hashem, not praying from Hashem, this Mizmor may be one of the Mizmorim which was said as almost the drasha, as almost the as we'll call it, the philosophical introduction to praying to Hashem, which is setting the stage in a various public settings. So it could have been that this Mizmor was the one which was said before direct prayers, which are to also be found mostly in the rest of Tehillim, as the introduction. In terms of the places of tefillah that this appears, the Mizmor does not appear wholesale, but there are many, many psukim which appear elsewhere. So for instance, you know, Pasuk Vav, which is V'hoitzi ka'or tzidkecho mishpatecho ba'atzoharayim, that appears in the davening. Pasuk Chof Hei appears as well, Lovero Shav, Pasuk Chof Hei, which is Nara Yisi Gamzo Ganti, Veloira Yisi Tzadik Ne'ezav, appears in our benching, of course. So there's numerous psukim which appear all over. There are many songs made from this Mizmor in Tehillim as well. Just in terms of psukim and the focus, let's close today with that pasuk which we actually do say in benching, which is Nara Yisi Gamzo Ganti, Veloira Yisi Tzadik Ne'ezav. I've been a young person, and now I've grown older, and I've never seen an abandoned tzaddik, and a person who was righteous, who was so mevakish lechem, who's looking for bread. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, like, is that exactly true? Is that exactly true? You know, we've seen many people who suffer terribly, and they were really, really good people, and suffered financially. How does it exactly, do we square that with the reality we look around us? So the Malbim says, no, what it means to say that this pasuk is saying in the bigger context, like the Mizmor is stretched time, the Mizmor has said that time frame is not going to be measured in our little 5 minutes that we watch this world. He says that really it's a bigger time frame. It means le'olam. That kiloi ya'azov le'olam, he adds an extra word, that Hashem will never eternally abandon a person. It may look like they're not succeeding right now, but don't worry, it will work out. And the Radak says, it's not what it's saying is that there won't be complete abandonment, like the Rishayim will be completely abandoned. Therefore, the Tzaddikim will always have a lifeline, they will always have a way out of it. And I just heard personally, many years ago, I heard a perspective which I think is very enlightening. And that is what the Mizmor is saying over here, is this line actually is not descriptive. It's not saying, oh, I look at the world and I don't see any poor people. It's prescriptive, which means say, I look at the world, and how could I ever look at the world and see people in a state of need? How could I ever walk past somebody and see that they need something and ignore them? What it's saying is, I never left a situation, a status quo of danger, of lacking, and walked past and didn't turn my head and change something. That's what the Mizmor is saying. When looking at evil, when looking at vacuums in this world, one of the cool answers that this Mizmor is giving to us is, you want to ask how to fix it? Well, you know where evil comes from? There are lots of evil people. You know where good comes from? There are lots of good people. Be the agent of God. Be that person who's going to change the world and make sure that there won't be people who are lacking bread. And that perhaps is what the Mizmor is saying as well. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.